following message is the word of God from Abeokuta Believers Meeting. Be blessed.
Praise the Lord. When we are going to pray for a few minutes, when it's time to pray, pray passionately. Don't allow the devil just deceive you and waste your time. I know that there are many of you standing. I see you more than even the people here. Let me tell you, you remind me of the Reinhard Bonnke crusade where I was standing in the midst of several people. I was not on the high table, but my hunger took me to the front, although I was at the back. The hunger of a man can drive you to the heart of God. Regardless where you are standing, your heart can be connected. Think about the generation that stands waiting for your grace. Some of you are pastors. Think about the people God has committed. Let me tell you the truth. There is more in God. There is more in God. We have to be honest and hungry and desperate tonight. Hallelujah. So I came to lend my voice with all the men and the women of God in this city to lift up the banner of something new, that we have seen God do great things in this city. But I'm telling you, there are dimensions of God that we have not seen, and we must press through hunger. Praise the Lord. It must be a desperate cry from the heart of people. Lord, I desire you. Thank you for the revelations. Thank you for the healings. Thank you for the prophecies. But this cannot be all. Like, you know, when we're going to pray. When Pastor Shola was sharing, I mean, his session ministered to me so much, I was almost going to prompt him and say, continue, Pastor. That when the enemy comes like a flood, the standard must match the flood. And it just reminded me of how dams are built. They are built to ensure that regardless the rise and the volume of water, that the dam is built in a way and a manner that it becomes higher than the flood. Hallelujah. So I trust that there will be all kinds of impartation. I may not guarantee that everybody is here hungry to receive, but I know for sure there has to be someone in this meeting who has fasted, who has prayed, who has said, Lord, I know there is more in you. And thank God for what you have done in my life, but I am desperate and I'm hungry. Hallelujah. Wherever you are in the next 5 to 10 minutes, please find a corner and cry before the God of heaven. Take your eyes away from Joshua Selma. Shapakatus halanda bragadabadas. Shkabarus kabadas selende bakatus. Let it be a cry from the depth of your spirit. Katabarakato shalanda bakaparuzes yata. Skababu shepado satash kabaranta skabarates kebakati shatiata. Emprekete bakatabarakata baratu sadadakatapa. Shegedeberegete pakorosso topakata. Mantes kabaruse de beretu shiakakata brantes kadebarakatariata. Every time he calls for a convergence, it is because there is a cry in the spirit for a higher dimension, a higher grace. Someone is praying. Skabarato shalambariata. Pray the prayer that draws your mantle to your life. Pray the prayer that draws the grace for your destiny to your life. This is part of the meeting. Skatato shalasa da barata skabada. Skate barato sheneva katu predege de balash. We desire your glory. We desire your power. Parus kabarandes kaleparusa diasha hasadas. Turn my life around.
Set me on fire tonight, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Grant me the eyes that can see, the ears that can hear. Let there be a desperation of Belkuta. In the last day of the feast, that great day, he lifted up his voice and said, if any man thirst, spring up, O wells, open up, O fountains. Will you open up the gates? Open up the doors. We're speaking to the realm of the spirit. Will you open up the gates? Will you open up the gates over Belkuta? Open up the doors. You'll still pray in a few minutes and you'll be seated. Will you open up the gates? The Lion of Judah, the Lamb upon the throne, we hail you, Most High. You're the Lion of Judah, the Lamb upon the throne, we hail you, Most High. Madonna, yeah, Elohim, Elohim, Madonna, Elohim, Madonna, Elohim, Madonna. Elohim Madonna, Elohim Madonna, Elohim. Ela badakato salabrenda skadalisha hasada brati. Shile baruza zigete baruz kalabrande kabaruz yatahashaladas. Shadabas, Sadabadakata, Brandas, Kadabaratu, Shadaka, the Badakatosh, Shalaska, Barusa, Degede, Barata, Pratas, Kadabarada, Badakata, Brandaka, Degede, Bush, Empretekete, Barata, Katabradaka, Barakatu, Shadabrandaka, Sadadash, Ekratu, Sadabarusa, Segede, Barata, Variata, Kalata, Brandas, Kadabariata, Shibanakata, Barakata, Barusa, Tabaska, Kabalanda, Sariata. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Spirit of the living God, we pray and we cry tonight that you will grant us illumination. Grant us power with God. Let your word prevail over our flesh until Christ is enthroned. Set us on fire tonight. And let Jesus himself be glorified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now please listen. I'm going to be brief tonight, but I want you to be very sensitive. There is a very strong anointing in this place. Very strong anointing. I believe with all my heart that there are activations and there are impartations, transference of possibilities. That whilst you are listening, something is happening to your spirit, man. So we'll be very brief tonight, but don't be distracted. Don't just listen to hear. Hallelujah. Please be seated. Please be seated. We live in a time where a generation is desperate to see the reality of the spirit life, that it translates to become more than a sermon articulately communicated by an intelligent man of God. The world is not looking for historians. The world is not looking for orators necessarily. There is a desperation. I'm seeing the number 21 in the spirit, and I'm seeing there is a fire and it's coming on 21 people right now as I'm speaking. Just sit down, you don't have to stand. Please, I wanted to bring them out here while I teach. You will not be distracted. 21 people. I stretch my hands across the length and breadth of this place. May the angel of his presence among these 21 people ignite them. Please let the ushers bring them. Shala subriata. For others is the fire of evangelism coming upon your spirit man in an unusual way. Please just, if you have them, just you can just bring them while I teach. That fire of evangelism for others is the opening of prophetic portals. 21 people. This is what I'm seeing in the spirit. And for others, you are drinking of ancient wells. There are generals that came from this city, and their mantles continue to hover around this city, searching for vessels that are available. See the rain of your love, feel the wind of your spirit. Now the heartbeat of heaven, let us hear. See the rain of your love, we feel the wind of your spirit. Now the heartbeat of heaven, let us hear. See the rain of your love, feel the wind of your spirit. Now the heartbeat of heaven, let us hear. So let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven.
Listen to me. I want you to understand what the Spirit of God is doing. This is not showmanship. It's a communication of a desperation of the Holy Spirit pressing into the earth to find vessels that can and will be able to bear the revival that has been prophesied upon. It is not a sermon. It is not a doctrine. It is an experience of power. The faith life and the spirit life is beyond a teaching. There must be an experience, an attestation to the dealings of the Spirit within a territory. The Lord is telling me that there is a move of God that is coming to this city. There is a prophetic and an apostolic move of the Spirit that is coming upon the land of Abeokuta. It's a wind of the Spirit that will begin to blow across the length and the breadth of this city. Pastors, prophets, evangelists, apostles will begin to rise with such depth of power and fire. Men will begin to have encounters of the secret place. You will find people who will shut down on regular preaching and they will go on hiding for weeks and for months because they will come into a season of strange dealings with the Holy Spirit. You may think they are missing, but they are not missing. It's the experience of the cave of Adullam. God is going to begin to pick people one by one. It will not be a corporate thing. It will not even be about husband and wife or pastors and members. God will search for willing vessels. One by one, He will pick men and begin to train them and prune them and discipline them and then open their eyes to new dimensions in the Spirit and then place new wine upon their lives. They will come out like men of Issachar, having an understanding of the times and knowing what Israel ought to do. Please be patient with me. It's the spirit of revival. It's the birthing of something new and something prophetic upon your city. One last prayer and then I get back to the world. There are 11 people here. There is the grace, this move of the Spirit that is coming. You have seen it in your dreams. You have seen it in your visions. And I know that many people will be part of it. But I'm seeing 11 specific people, men and women. There is a strong fire that is coming upon them. Lord, where are they in this crowd? From the front to the back, this 11, oh God, that you are consecrating in this season, may that fire fall from heaven. In the name of Jesus, ignite them, oh God, like the forces of Samson. Ignite them, oh God, a burden of power, a burden of fire. Apportion to them dimensions in the spirit. Apportion to them levels of grace, illumination and power. We shake up the fountains of this city. We command you to deliver the mantles that are hiding. We shake up the fountains of Abeokuta. Deliver the mantles of the prophetic. Deliver the mantles of the apostolic. That the labor of the fathers that have sojourned the soil of this territory will not be in vain. Spring up, O wells. We call you by prophecy.
Feel rain of your love. Feel wind of your spirit. Now the heartbeat
kneel down if you can. Please sit down. Be sensitive. Hosea chapter 6. Please sit if you can. Pastor Shola, you see, what God is doing in this place this night is very prophetic. There is truly a birthing. I'm seeing a vision of a pregnant woman, and I'm seeing water just bursting. And when the water of a woman breaks, it's a sign that something is about to be released. This is what I'm seeing in my vision. That for some of you, the training is almost coming to an end. Your season, 40 days, coming to an end. The season of appearing is almost opening up. The days of fasting, the days of discipline. No one knows you yet. You are still in the cave of Adullam. But there is a birthing. Please hear what I'm saying. I'm speaking by the Spirit. There are psalmists here. You've not produced one song, yet you have hundreds of them. God has prohibited you and said these are songs of revival, that the time will come when the nations will hear these songs. There are some of you, the anointing on your life can shake territories, but God has not allowed you to honor one single ministration. But I'm seeing a woman, and her water is already bursting. I mean, bursting forth. And the Bible says, as soon as Zion travails, that she puts forth her son. Please, where you are, pray in 1 minute. Lord, what you are doing in my life for my generation, do not stop. Do not stop. Do not stop the training. Do not let my tears prohibit what you are doing. It may be a painful sacrifice, but I open up my spirit. Please pray. Hosea chapter 6. I'm not sure I may be able to share what I plan to share, but wherever we can stop tonight, there is a grace to just attend to serious issues here. As I'm standing here, Pastor, I'm seeing chains, I'm seeing oppression, I'm seeing all kinds of things. And like we're sharing briefly with Pastor, I will never be the man of God who will come into a city and leave the chains of people on them. No way, it's impossible. There has to be an evidence of the life, the power, the glory, the effulgence of His grace, so that you will go back with a conviction that you have not been taught cunningly devised fables. Hosea chapter 6, please, and verse 3. Please sit down if you can. Mighty God. It says, and let us know, let us follow on to Jehovah. Give us KJV if you can, please. Thank you. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come to us as the rain. He shall come to us, but there is a revelation of himself that he would want us to see. He will not come as he came yesterday. He will come to us as the rain. I want to talk very briefly on the rain. It's a revelation that the Lord will have me share. Hallelujah. Now, please listen as best as you can. Scripture reveals the Holy Spirit as one who manifests himself to man in different forms. It is consistent with Scripture and is consistent with God to manifest himself to men dimensionally. And we see that in Scripture, the Holy Ghost manifests himself using several forms. For instance, he can manifest as fire. For instance, he can manifest as wine. For instance, he can manifest as oil. For instance, he can manifest as water. And then we also see that he can manifest as rain. Please look up. Hosea is prophesying to us that God wants to come to us. He's talking about the move of God. But he's saying that there is a pattern he has chosen to come through. And he says he will come to us. Please give us the B part there. That he will come to us as the rain. He has chosen to reveal himself to a people and to a territory as the rain. Every time the Holy Spirit uses an emblem, please look up, to reveal himself to men, these are tokens of revival. These are tokens of the outpouring of the Spirit. And it's important that we study why he chooses to assume those molds and those patterns, because they sustain an understanding that will guide us on how to receive his ministry. The way you receive fire is not the way you receive rain. When rain is coming, you put a bucket or you create a channel. When fire is coming, you don't put a bucket. So the Holy Ghost reveals himself as several emblems, and it's important that the saints sustain the intelligence to be able to understand how he reveals himself and how to receive of his unique ministry. What is the rain? A brief exhortation. The rain is a dimension of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon people, upon territories, that is responsible for activating certain dimensions of spiritual possibilities. Now watch this. Every time fire is revealed, fire comes to prune, fire comes to purify. Are we together now? Fire comes to produce better versions of the same thing. When you put your yam or you put whatever it is under fire, the yam does not change to potato. The potato does not change to rice. It only changes to a form that is better for consumption. So when the Holy Ghost reveals himself as fire, there is what he seeks to do: to burn off the flesh, to cut off the excesses, to break the stony heart, to become the heart of flesh. But when he comes as the rain, every time the rain comes in response to dryness. The rain comes in response to barrenness. Isaiah 32 and verse 15. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high in the similitude of a rain, then he will turn a wilderness to a fruitful vine. And then if a fruitful vine, he turns it into a forest. So when the Holy Spirit comes as the rain, he comes to provoke a new dimension of possibilities that have not been seen. He comes to bring abundance. He comes to move people into realms of fruitfulness. Rain is responsible for fruitfulness. Hear me, man of God, because there is going to be a revelation now. Rain, fire, is not responsible for fruitfulness. Fire is responsible for productivity, but rain is responsible for fruitfulness. Is there hope for a tree, even if it be cut at the scent of water, not fire? So when the Holy Ghost wants to reveal himself as rain, it then means that he must come to a region where there has been a prolonged season of barrenness, dryness, lack of fruitfulness. Listen very carefully. And there are seven things that happen when the Spirit of God is revealed in a territory as the rain. I will list them very quickly and then we'll pray. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it open. Listen, when the Holy Spirit is revealed to a people, a nation, a city, a territory as rain, he will begin to make the reality of certain experiences number one. Very quickly, I want to be as simple as possible because I want us to understand before we pray. Number one, the Holy Ghost manifesting as a rain, but increased dimensions of love for God and passion for spiritual things. Watch this. It is rain that makes the farmer suddenly become passionate about his farm. When there is no rain, it will look as if the farmer hates his farm. Yet the farmer is in love with that farm. But the farmer waits for rain to prompt his passion. Every time rain begins to fall, the farmer's passion too begins to rise. It rises enough, he goes to get his seeds, he goes to get his hoe, he goes to get his tractor, and off he goes to the farm. Until the Holy Ghost comes as rain, it will be impossible for the saints to sustain the kind of passion and zeal that it will take to love God. Listen very carefully. I come from the north. It's largely an agrarian area. And when it is dry season, you almost think the people do not do any other thing. They get up in the morning and can sit in front of their houses and gist and talk politics from morning till evening. But the moment the rain begins to come, when it comes once, twice, thrice, four times by morning, very early in the morning, the once lazy man, the once nonchalant man, suddenly becomes a diligent farmer. The rain does not speak, yet it attracts. It draws you from your house to the farm. Follow me carefully. So when the Holy Ghost comes upon a people as rain, he begins to stir up a passion. What is it about this book? I bought the book 5 years ago, but I've never had reason to read it. But when it comes upon you as the rain, you will go back home and search for that book as though an armed robber were coming to read it. The Holy Ghost as the rain is responsible for the refueling of passion. Refueling of passion. Hear me? There is a requisite level of passion and hunger it takes to be relevant in this season. You're not going to love God casually and do Christianity casually and preach casually. No, there is a depth of hunger. Please hear me. And it is not something you just assume. Hunger can be imparted in a man when the Holy Ghost comes. Did the Bible not say in Romans chapter 5 verse 5 that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, not by our intention, by the Holy Ghost. You know, people talk to me all the time and they say, Apostle, how come you love God and you are this passionate? It is the revelation of the Holy Ghost, not just as fire, but as the rain. Fire does not sink into the earth, but when rain comes, it enters right to the root of the earth and it draws something that was hiding in the earth to come out. The limit of fire is the surface, but rain goes down, right down. So when the Holy Ghost comes as rain, he penetrates your flesh. It looks like he's weak, but he will come in until he soaks in you a desire, a depth of hunger. And that's what God is doing in the life of somebody, planting a hunger that you will leave this meeting and say, I'm not just a Christian, I am passionate and hungry for God. It is your hunger that will drive you to the place of prayer. It is your hunger that will drive you to the place of study, that you can open your Bible in the morning and lift your eyes and see that it's 10 p.m. and you say, my God, what happened? Hunger is a measure of health. When people are sick, the first thing they lose is appetite. The moment you lose appetite spiritually, you need the rain. There are times that patients will not eat food, but no doctor will stop a patient from taking water, because water represents life. Is God speaking to you? The refueling of hunger. It's amazing how easy believers can lose their hunger. It's amazing how easy preachers can lose their hunger. And it's not something to be embarrassed about. But when he comes as the rain, suddenly your 5 hours prayer was reduced to 20 minutes. You didn't even know when that decline started. And then he comes as rain. And one night you go to the place of prayer and come out the next day because rain came upon you. Someone prophesied, say, Lord, send the rain. Send the rain. Send the rain. Number two, very quickly. The Holy Ghost, revealed as the rain, brings forth unusual access into the mysteries and the operations of the kingdom. How many of you have driven your cars and then wind makes your vision hazy? Even though you have light, sometimes your windscreen is hazy and you will not just need a wiper, you will also need water to clarify your vision. The rain comes to take away the haziness in your spiritual understanding. Son of man, what seest thou? He says, an almond tree. He said, you have seen correctly. That means men can see, but it does not mean what they saw was correct. The Holy Ghost, revealed as rain, will grant you unusual access into the mysteries and the operations of the kingdom. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Let's look at three scriptures very quickly from verse 1 and 2. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Harus kalibra has kadabati. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. He says, my doctrine shall drop as what? My doctrine. I will communicate a body of light to you, but it will come in the similitude of rain. And my speech shall distill as the dew, and as small rain drops upon a tender herb, and as showers upon the grass. The spirit of revelation coming as the rain. God granting you access, clarity, that you are no longer speaking opinions, you are speaking with authority. Luke chapter 4, Luke chapter 1, from verse 1 to 4, Dr. Luke was speaking, and he was speaking to Theophilus, and he was saying, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely, there are things that are most surely believed. There are things that are vaguely believed, but others are certainly believed. Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. Verse 3. It seemed good to me also, having what? Perfect understanding. Not vague understanding. Not an opinionated understanding. A man can have perfect understanding of all things. So you are writing from a standpoint of conviction. You are teaching from a standpoint of conviction. You are not hoping you are right. Not that you prepare a sermon, write a book, then go back and hope you were right. There is an outpouring that can open your eyes to perfect understanding. Verse 4 says, so that you will know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. So that when you are given an instruction, that faith works. You don't just hope because the pastor said this and I respect the pastor. There is a depth of conviction that produces persuasion. Number 3. Or let me give us one more scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10. I'm being as simple as possible. When you read verse 9, the Bible says, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither has it come into the comprehension of any man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Verse 10 says, but God had revealed them unto us by what? His Spirit. The Bible says, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So the revelatory ministry of the Spirit comes in the similitude of the rain. Like a man driving in the night and driving in a dusty and a hazy weather, he comes as that rain that grants you perfect understanding. You can know that this is the key to the door. You can know that this is the key to church growth. You can know that this is the key to increase. You can know that this is the key to favor. You are not hoping. My brothers and my sisters, it is my prayer that God will bring believers as individuals and territorially speaking to a level of confidence where we do not just believe God vaguely, but we would have tasted and seen that His word is dependable. You can know the mysteries that are responsible for the various outcomes you desire. Walking in abundance, moving with the speed of the Holy Ghost. I am favored. I am walking in abundance, moving with the speed of the Holy Ghost. That you know what to do in the Spirit. That is responsible for speed. When someone comes to your life and say, man of God, I have suffered delay. You don't just say, let's pray. You know what to do. You know that there is an allocation in the economy of God where men can regain time. And that is what you administer to that person. You don't just say, let's pray. Father, help this man to be fast in life. Amen. You are not effective. When the Holy Ghost comes as rain, the veil is taken from off our eyes. We administer the mysteries of the kingdom with mastery, with the showmanship of an artist. This is how to be a blessing. So when you come to me and say, Apostle, I have been plagued by witchcraft in my life. I've not been able to move for 30 years. No one has risen in our life. I don't just say, let's pray. Oh God, have mercy. That's a careless, immature, gap-full spiritual life. There must be a level of quintessence and accuracy in administering life. Please look at me. Believers, we are only blessings to the degree to which we have thorough understanding of the mysteries of the kingdom. So we know what mystery is responsible for what outcome. We stop guessing and hoping that this will be right. If this person comes and says, I'm suffering from a health condition and it is a death sentence, what do I tell that person? Oh, go and read your Bible. God can heal. God can bless. But Jesus said, the kingdom has come. The reality that seems far, I have brought it to your domain. It is now something that you should not only hope and believe, but you should now taste and see. Listen, until the word becomes flesh, it will not dwell among us and will not be able to behold the glory. I am very passionate about studying the systems and the mysteries of the kingdom. I want to know what is responsible for what. I'll give you an instance. Come, sir. Are you getting blessed tonight? Now, watch this. Let's assume that this brother comes to me and says, Apostle, I sense that I've been under an attack. I don't know if it's a curse. I don't know if it's a yoke. Nobody in our family can rise. Nobody in our family can, you know, make progress. We're all graduates. No one is doing well. The lady is married. No children. Now, imagine this kind of scenario. And he comes to me believing that I am a representative of the government of heaven. I have so advocated it by carrying a name and carrying a title that is implicating. Now he comes to me as the closest representation of the Christ. It is up to me now to take advantage of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit as the rain, having perfect understanding. Now this man can come crying. He is representing 30 years of sorrow. And yet I have advocated that God can do it. Now the kingdom is under pressure to be made manifest. I can casually pray for him and say, my brother, in the name of Jesus, I bind that spirit. I pray for you. He can even fall down while I'm praying and stand up and walk back into the same situation, nothing changing. It's as if the demons did not even have regard for the name that was called. Because the name of Jesus is not a charm. There is a mystery behind it that makes it work. But I can come as a representative of the government of heaven and look at him and say, my brother, I congratulate you for paying the price to come to this ground. You have finished your part. Now you sit back and watch the invincibility of the power of this kingdom we represent. And in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, 30 years comes under the jurisdiction of the Lordship of the Christ and is turned completely a wilderness. This gentleman goes back before getting home. An alert comes of a job he did not apply for. And he hears that two of his sisters are already pregnant. And then fresh fire for God comes in. Now, this is the kingdom coming. There is no message that is more powerful than that experience. When the family now gathers, their testimonies are proof that the power of God has been made visible. Let me tell you, the world that we live in now is tired of stories. They want to see a manifestation of the power of God. I will continue to study the Bible, but will my family situation remain like this? I'm tired of the theory of the God who can do, can bless, can heal, can live. Where is that God that he will not show up? He says, do not say I will go to heaven to look for him. Romans chapter 10. He says the word is nigh thee. He has come near. The logos of God is near you. Are you getting blessed? What is the implication of the Holy Spirit coming as rain? Number three, the Holy Spirit being manifest among a people as rain brings about multiplied dimensions of spiritual power, multiplied dimensions of grace, unction, anointing. Joel chapter 2, we'll read from verse 28. that when the Holy Ghost comes as rain, He brings about a multiplication of the possibilities of the kingdom. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour, like water is being poured, my spirit upon all flesh. As a result, your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. We are reading to 32, the last verse. And also upon my servants and upon my handmaid, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders. The dimension of the Holy Ghost responsible for wonders is the Holy Ghost coming as rain. Rain. The same way when it rains, pastor, sometimes you can see physical ice dropping and you are watching from your window with wonder. Sometimes when it's raining, you see that it can become a flood and take even buildings. The sheer power and the energy exerted when you see that. The Bible says wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood, fires, and pillars of smoke. Two more verses. It says the sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and the terrible day of the Lord shall come. 32. And it shall come to pass that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance. And the Lord had said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call, deliverance in Zion, wonders in the heavens, as a result of the outpouring of the Spirit. Please listen to me. I pray that you observe what Pastor Shola said before I came up, that the challenges of today cannot be solved by yesterday's anointing. Believe me, it is true. Anointing works like money. 1,000 may do you well to buy you a meal, but 1,000 will not pay for rent. So if your challenge is thirst, you are fine. But if your challenge is housing, you will need more than that. The kinds of unique expression of darkness that is in our world today requires certain high-level dimensions of graces. I can tell you this. As a man of God, you will be confronted with situations that even though you have gained some level of maturity in Christ, it will shake your faith. And you say, I've not seen it in this fashion before. Levels, unique expressions of oppression. Hallelujah. I was told about a preacher who finished preaching a nice message, powerful message on stage, and fell down there right before everybody and died. Very powerful message. What is worse than a man dying in the presence of God? Do you know how that would discourage the faith of many people? Now, you cannot say the man does not love God. This man finished preaching a powerful message and died there. So hell is reinventing its strategies. Hell wants to make sure that one event can discourage as many people. The devil does not just want to manufacture events. He wants to brand it with such darkness that with one event, it would take a year's evangelism to recover those people. So we also need to rise to dimensions of grace where one spectacular operation of the Spirit, like what will happen to someone tonight, will be a testimony that for 1 year it will keep saving souls. 1 year. 1 year. You will be sharing it every day, and yet people will not be tired. Is it not the resurrection of Jesus that we've been sharing since we were born? Until today is still fresh, because no one else could bring himself back to life. There are dimensions of the move of the Spirit that will happen in this day and age. Please hear me, and I pray that it happens through your hands. Bible history has it, Saint Patrick, one of the great men that God used, true story, that there was a man who had been dead for a long time, I think over 6 months or so, and believers got a hold of a dimension of the word of God and they got angry. They went to a grave with someone that had died, become bones, become all of that, and they were praying and they got angry because they felt from the revelation God gave them that the man dead did not finish his assignment. And it was said that Saint Patrick came and took a stone and wrote his signature and said they should dig. They brought the man out. Bones that had. Ezekiel 37 said, "Son of man, can these bones?" It was not a parable. There were realities in the realm of the spirit. Body of Christ, we must step up our trust in God. Otherwise, we ourselves will start fighting what God is doing, because it will be too high for our level of faith to receive. There were times that God worked certain spectacular miracles, and even among the people, they doubted, "What is all this?" The Spirit of God, who can make a virgin without a man conceive a child, who can make two children to be talking while before they are born. Please do not downplay the power of the Holy Ghost as real. He's coming upon people to turn ordinary people. Is he not the one that turned the generals, the ones we so talked about? They were ordinary men, but they stood before that rain. It is raining all around me. I can hear the ladder. Some years ago, I was in a meeting, and the person who wrote this song was giving the testimony of how the song came about. And he said it was at a time where they were in a moment of prayer, trusting God for revival. They were praying and praying and praying, and suddenly the song came as a token of God's answer to say that, "Write this and be sure, the rain is coming." Hallelujah. There's gonna be a great awakening. There's gonna be a great revival in our land. There's gonna be a great awakening. And everyone who calls on Jesus, let me give us one more. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit as a rain brings about unusual dimensions of wealth, prosperity, abundance, and fruitfulness. Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. From verse 24, and then we'll read 26. Joel chapter 2. An unusual outpouring. Let's start from 23. 23 says, please give it to us from 23. It says, "Be glad, ye children," and so on and so forth, "for he had given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come for you the rain, the former and the latter rain in our first month." 24. It says, "And the floors shall be full of wheat." So the rain will not only affect sons and daughters. The rain will not, in fact, when you read the sequence, is that the floors were first affected before the men. The men started in verse 28. It says, "The floors shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil." "And I will restore to you the years," and so on and so forth. 26. "And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that had dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed." Please look up. I hope you realize by now that every time we talk about wealth and prosperity and abundance, we are speaking from a kingdom perspective. It will be unfortunate if there are still believers now who are yet to reconcile the role that kingdom wealth and prosperity has always played and will continue to play in the revelation of the Christ upon the earth. When we talk about wealth and prosperity and abundance as kingdom people, it's beyond just buying clothes and buying cars. That the name of the Lord is heavy to take resources to keep it lifted. And we must lift it high enough for the nations to see that Christ has been exalted and he's been made both Lord and Christ. And it will require resources. The lie of the devil, many times, and this has eaten into the church, is that wealth and abundance does not have any active role. The reason is because we look at it from a selfish perspective. I can choose to live a mediocre life, not needing resources for anything. That's all right. But when you talk about kingdom come, you will need resources. This program was put up not just because of the availability of intention and hands, but only God can tell the amount of resources. Was it not Satan that paid people to say Jesus is not alive? He paid, he is still paying today. But there is a generation that will receive that investment of the Spirit and come with resources. Resources with intention, not just carnality and showing that you have money. Jesus, you be lifted high. That's what we'll do with resources. From the north to the south, the east to the west. Jesus, you be lifted high. It's our intention and it's our pursuit. Let my King be lifted high. Let but because of economic challenges, it's brought a serious distraction to their focus. It's a terrible thing to go to the secret place and be thinking about money. It's distracting. It's a terrible thing for your pulpit to become a center for talking about money every service. But people will have to resort to doing that if there is no economic advantage that comes from the intelligence of the Spirit. So when he comes, he will bring to us a blueprint. Was it not the Spirit of God that showed Joseph the formula that made for survival in the 7 years of famine? Joseph did not just see it by intellectual prowess. It came to him by the Spirit. And in these days, there are financial apostles that are rising once again. Listen to me. I have seen it. I've taught on it. That individuals who will build churches and say, don't even announce it. Man of God, what is your budget for this year, for next year? This is it. Focus on the ministry of prayer and the word. Not discussions and not arguments about money. That you would not just draw a lady and say, stop prostitution. But you say, stop prostitution. But I fix your life in a way and a manner that will make prostitution look like an insult to your life. We are called out of into. We are not called out of and left there. The economy of God calls men out of a system into another system, but it must be economically prepared. Are we blessed? I made up my mind, Pastor, and I've shared this with you, that I will never pastor a people. It is true that the signature grace and the anointing and the call is that which inspires people into intimacy with the Holy Spirit and opens them up to the revelation of the mysteries of the kingdom, and then allows people to experience the supernatural workings of God. This is what he is committed to us and will remain faithful. But in addition to that, I will never pastor a people who only love God
and are passionate, carrying the anointing, and are economically depraved. I would have wasted their time. The plague of poverty will erode the sacrifices. All of the sacrifice of godliness will almost be tortured to death. Do not downplay the role that poverty and hardship will play in strangling your spiritual life. Are we together? There are people who have dabbled into things they should not have, not because they do not know the pressure of finances. There is a real financial renaissance that is coming to the body of Christ. What we have seen now that we celebrate, as the Lord has shown me and supported by scripture, is only trickles, tests of faithfulness to see if we are qualified. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. There are men who will be committed the wealth of nations in the hands of individuals. Are we blessed? I have to pray for us. But let me see if I can just run the other two quickly. Number five. The Holy Spirit being revealed as the rain means supernatural dimensions of wealth. Okay, let me give you scriptures. Wealth, prosperity, and abundance. Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 4. Please write it quickly so that we'll just go straight into the prayer and I just speak over your life and we're done. Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 4. Leviticus 26 and verse 4. Then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase. Oh, it's gone. And the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. They will only yield at the instance of the rain. Hallelujah. So when rain comes upon you, it brings forth abundance. Deuteronomy 11 and verse 14. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 14. I give you this scripture so that your faith will not be founded upon the wisdom of men. It says, I will give you the rain of your land in its due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thy oil. It's amazing that wine and oil too depend on rain. Hallelujah. Next, number five now, supernatural restoration. When the Holy Ghost is poured up upon a people as rain, it brings about supernatural restoration, spiritual restoration, material restoration. Joel chapter 2 and verse 25, just write it down. It says, I will restore to you the years. Let me tell you, when the Holy Ghost comes, he can bring restoration. Yes, sir. How many people lose their crops and lose, maybe their shops are boggled and their grains are stolen, and they look forward to the rainy season as a consolation. When the rainy season comes, they go to sow again because they know that God can use that rainy season to bring them a restoration of that which was lost. Number six. Now, this is interesting. When the Holy Ghost comes upon a man and individuals as rain, it brings judgment upon people, territories, and nations that oppose God's agenda. Genesis chapter 7 and verse 4. This is a dimension of the rain that now is an interesting dimension. That the rain is not only just pleasant, the rain can also be destructive. And it says, for yet 7 days, I will yet cause it to rain upon the earth. This is Noah. 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made, I will destroy from off the face of the earth. Now look at this. The reign of God has a judgment dimension. Not to you. It shows you all of these things I've listed. But then it now turns, and the Holy Ghost can bring havoc and judgment to everything that is antichrist in a man's life. The rain. Many of us have seen the same rain we talk about
that make plants to come out, the same rain can sweep buildings. The same rain can capsize ships that carry cars. Rain is not only a blessing, rain can be dangerous. So judgment upon the people. When rain came in the days of Noah, it was lifting Noah and the animals higher, and it was bringing every other person down. Simultaneously, at the same time, a few people were rising from that flood, but others were going down. And it took them and dropped them upon a rock called Mount Ararat. And every other thing that was not in that boat died. Let me tell you this. Very soon, God is about to speak in this nation and across Africa. When God is silent, understand that his silence is a language. There are times that God allows the boast of men to reach his zenith, and then he now echoes from heaven and says, who is that man who did not create the heavens and the earth and yet makes a boast as though we did it together? Listen to me. Rain can make a statement. When there is serious rain, it comes with thunder. It doesn't come alone. You may not hear the sound of the rain, but thunder always follows a serious rain. And sometimes that thunder can strike once and produce havoc. Are we together? The Bible says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? That the kings of the earth, they set up themselves against God that is anointed, so that they will, you know, wage destruction. He said, but God shall laugh from his throne, and then in his derision he will speak. God is about to make a statement upon the earth. Kings have risen in their arrogance and have attempted to take the place of God, and for a long time he would keep quiet. But then when he watches the pride and the folly of men, in his majesty he will echo once and recycle obedience and honor and allow another rebellion to rise again. The God of heaven is not threatened by the foolishness of men. Let me tell you this. The God of the universe was not voted into power. His very throne is like a law court. Righteousness and justice are the foundations of his throne. He does not just sit as king, he sits also as a judge. And he can send rain. The Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 9 and verse 23. Please give us Exodus chapter 9 and verse 23. It says, and Moses, this was the judgment in Egypt, and Moses stretched forth his rod towards heaven, and the Lord sent what? Thunder and hail, and fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. God can rain. Rain doesn't always have to be water, but it can be rain. God can rain down words. God can rain down judgment. The same water that was parted heat and tether was the same water that provided the moisture that put down the chariots of Pharaoh. The moisture that refused to allow. They were moving on dry ground. Suddenly, when Pharaoh came with his chariots, according to the song of Miriam, God made moisture to now cause the tires to begin to misbehave. I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horses and his riders have been thrown into the sea. You will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horses and his riders have been thrown into the sea. On one side, God is lifting you. On another side, God is shutting the mouth of those who say, can God help people in this family? Happening at the same time. Listen, fear a man who God has invested his jealousy in. You will be talking and God will allow you to finish running your mouth. Then God will carefully honor the person in your presence. Ask Haman, what shall be done to a man who has done this? And Haman thought it was him. So he made the best choice and he said immediately, go and do so to Mordecai. Move with the chariot you desired and shout to everybody, bow the knee, that this is what should be done with a man who finds favor with the king. Let me speak over someone tonight. In the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God, I prophesy to you that from tonight, that everything that should work in your to your disadvantage, I overturn and I turn it to your favor. In the name of Jesus Christ. Please sit down. When Haman went home and told his wife the tragic story, she only asked him one question. She said, who is this man? And he said, Mordecai, the Jew. He said, you are finished. You fought a covenant, not a man. That means this is not even all. There is more to come. Listen, there are men who God will insist until they rise, because he will remember the covenant and the vow of his mercy. He will remember that you served in this conference. He will remember that you swept the altar. He will remember you sowed your seed, and he will send that rain. It is true. Let me stop here. What does it take to experience the rain? Let me give you three keys quickly. Number one, the first requirement to experience the manifestation of the Holy Ghost as the rain is genuine hunger for more of God. Isaiah 44 and verse 3. Please give it to us very quickly. Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 3. It says, for I will pour water not on him that is full, on him that is thirsty, and floods upon dry ground, and I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thy offspring. Requirement number one, hunger. Genuine hunger. Lord, I desire to see your glory. I desire to see the rain come upon my life. Hunger. And let me tell you, if there are people who are hungry tonight, then I assure you, you are not going back home the same. Number two, what does it take to experience the rain? A determination to see his kingdom come in your life, across lives, and across territories. Reminds me of the passion of Pastor Shola, Pastor Shegu, and all the pastors that have put this meeting together. Why would they leave their various churches in the comfort of what God is doing in their lives and then stand in partnership with all the servants of God in this city who have their own work and they are thriving and doing well to come together and call for a convergence? It is a desire to see his kingdom come. Psalm 63. It says, O Lord my God. Psalm 63. Early will I seek you, my soul thirsts for you, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Verse 2 says, to see your power and your glory as I have seen in the sanctuary. You must have a determination. Lord, I'm tired of seeing sick people go back sick. I'm tired of seeing oppressed people. I'm tired of sharing the grace and watching people go back the way they came. As a man of God, the Holy Ghost is attracted to not only your hunger, but your desire not to make a name, your desire not for fame, not to be called apostle and prophet and all of these things. Let me tell you the truth. God sees my heart, and you are spiritual people. It is never my desire for fame, to make a name. You know, thank God for all the clap and all these things you do for me, but sometimes I just come and sit down and I just say thank God for it, and my mind is completely not there. All I want to see is the reality of Christ revealed in the lives of people. I want to see them stand from wheelchairs. I want to see the dead come back to life. I want to see age-long captivities go down. I want to see territories bow to the lordship of Christ. That's my passion. That's my obsession. That's what I live for. That's what I will die for if need be. If all you want is power, you will not get it. Let me just tell you up front. If all you want is to use God to be famous, you may not do business with God in this season. God is looking for people who are not afraid of standing behind the cross to say, if he's the one who is seen, no problem. Just use me, oh God. That's all I want. If nobody knows me, no problem. Apostle Joshua Selman is not as important as the mighty hand of God that will come and bless people. If you are not ashamed of decreasing so that you will increase. It's been my prayer every time as the world celebrates me and celebrates what God is doing in my life. I'm humbled, but it's a difficult thing to be me. Because on one side, there are claps that can throw you to your grave. But on another side, there is a higher call. And God is saying, compared to where you need to go, you are just one step out of the cave. Do not be distracted, my dear son. There are still lands to conquer. There are still dimensions. As far as I'm concerned, what we are doing now is industrial attachment. We will soon start. When he's done with us, furnished by the hand of God, thoroughly worked upon by the Spirit, all the areas that killed the fathers and the patriarchs, God is revealing it to us and building a fortification in us. If pride killed them, he's teaching us something about pride now. If lust killed them, he's teaching us something about lust now. So that when we come out, we're a formidable army. That what threw them down is what we'll climb upon. Because we have climbed their shoulders and received the intelligence that makes for sustenance. At the end of it, Christ be revealed in and through our lives. Listen, you must be desperate to see Christ revealed. I didn't just step into the realm of seeing visions and seeing, you know, things about people. Honestly, it was never my desire to access any prophetic grace. All I wanted was, God, is there a more effective way to help me in administering your power and your glory to people? That was it. I was not looking for, oh God, give me power so that I can see and call names. No. See, when your desire becomes, oh God, why is this church 7 months and it's not completed? What does it take to complete it? You are calling the economy the hand of God that prospers. You don't call these spiritual things by just calling them. You call them by calling what you will do with them. Why do you want the anointing? Why do you want the grace? Why do you want the fame? Why do you want to speak and things begin to happen? If you've suffered a psychological breakdown growing up, what you need is a revelation of the word, not ministry. But I've vowed and I've made my commitment under God that forever my life and my desire, purified by my hunger for God, that I will continue to serve him and I will continue to desire that his glory comes. Do you know, I made up my mind, Pastor Sam, and I made a commitment that if I ever meet a man like I have the opportunity to meet you and you go back the same, I don't deserve to see you again. If you have to meet me twice to be blessed, then God should use someone else to bless you, because it's proof that I'm wasting your time. It's the pressure that you put on yourself to be effective. Jesus met people once and their life changed. Imagine how many times we have met people and told them change is coming. No, sir. Hunger. That everywhere you are, God is in experience. And the reality of his person can be proven here and now. Burdens lifted. Lives changed. Hunger provoked in people. The tokens that follow his presence follow you like a shadow, as proof that he is with you and you are with him. And then number three, what does it take to experience the move of the Spirit as the rain? Prayer. Desperate heart cry. Desperate prayer. Psalm 64 from verse 1 and 3. 1 to 3. Psalm 64. Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from the fear of the enemy. We're reading to verse 3. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity. Verse 3. It says, who wet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words that can be said. Zechariah chapter 10. And verse 1. And then we'll look at James chapter 5. Now, these two scriptures are very, very instructive. He said, Zechariah 10 and verse 1. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give you showers of rain. He said, ask ye of the Lord rain. When you discern it is the time of rain. I'm hurrying up. James chapter 5. We'll read from verse 16 to 18. The Bible is teaching us about prayer. James chapter 5, the 16, the B part says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Then he now uses Elijah to personify the ministry of prayer and how that ministry prayer can send rain and it can shut rain. It says, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for a space of 6 years, 3 years and 6 months. 18. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain. Stop. When you pray, the heaven can give rain. When you pray, the heaven can give rain. You can pray yourself into a rainy season. You can pray out dry season from your life. You don't have to wait until it comes, because it does not work the way it works agriculturally speaking. You pray and change seasons in your life. Lord, I'm tired of this barrenness as a man of God. I tell people you are blessed, they are not blessed. I tell people you are lifted, they are not lifted. I prophesy and everything I said was wrong. I'm tired of this haziness. Send me rain. Send rain from heaven. And you begin to pray. And let me tell you this. Prayer truly brings rain. And when it brings that rain, it will drench you in a way and manner. You see, the thing with rain is, it's impossible. Fire can burn your hand and I may not know. But it's impossible for rain to come on you and nobody knows. Even if you have an umbrella, it will show. The Holy Ghost as rain. There is no flood until there is rain. The wilderness does not produce flood. It is rain. The Lord wants to reveal himself. Please hear me, Abeokuta, and hear me, dear precious people of God. There are dimensions of the Holy Spirit that he wants to bring in our lives, captured as the rain. And in the next few minutes that we have to pray, I want you to be desperate that everything the rain can wash must be washed away from my life. You don't wash clothes with oil. Hello? Please look up. You do not wash clothes with oil. You don't wash clothes with fire. You wash clothes with water. When water comes, it also means you can purify. You can bring a newer version of that clothes. Where it was stained yesterday with the ministry of water, you no longer may see the stain again. The rain is about to come and erode certain things from your life and bring in other new ones. That's what God wants to do right now.
You've taken the pain and the sorrow away. You've given me peace undeniable. There's no need to cry, cause you're always with me. You're my Father, my everything. Oh, my,
the rain.
Just meditate on what you're doing.
Lord, you took my pain away, and then you gave me joy. You're my peace, my melody, in the center of the storm. You gave me a brand new song to sing to you. That's why I will lift up my voice and sing.
Wash away the memory of yesterday. You are here and the devil continues to haunt you. Yes, I know that last year you were not serious with God. Yes, I know that even before you came here, your life may not be the best representation, but the beauty of rain is that it can wash away the old. He said, remember not the former things, nor consider the things that are before. I behold, I do a new thing. Your voice in 1 minute. Send the rain, oh God. Send the rain, oh God. Let that rain bring abundance. Let that rain restore my hunger. Shela paratosa dikata. Abel put a cry for the rain. Let it come in ministry. Let it come in business. Please pray. Pray. Sela baratos yadana balada balada. Mantles are falling here tonight. Anointings are falling here tonight. Elijah's arising.
I want to pray for you. It is impossible
to come for a conference like this, a representation of the passion of the body of Christ, and then go back the same. Did the Bible not say, now the Lord is that Spirit? It says, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
I'm under the shadow of your wings. Your influence is all over me. I'm under the shadow of your wings. Your influence is all over me.
Now please, please listen to me. I want you to be very sensitive. It's a few minutes. We still have a session tomorrow, but I want you to believe. Believe that God is able to open up the gates and to bring your life into a new dimension. That you will not have to go and tell people that I came for a Abeokuta Believers Conference. There will be an evidence. Moses didn't tell anyone he met God. There was an illumination, a token of God's presence.
Hi-ya, hi-ya.
Hey. It's my prophecy to you tonight. To pray for you now. Listen, please. I always pray this prayer not because I want to do it. It's the Spirit of the living God. I want to speak restoration and speed. I'm seeing the number 17. And when I pray, please bring them out right now. In the name of Jesus, the hand of God will come upon them and they will begin to run physically. Please help them so they don't injure themselves. I declare by the Spirit of God, for every moment of delay, I stand by this apostolic and prophetic grace. I declare speed. Receive speed now. Receive speed, Abeokuta. Speed, Kabaruta Shalata. Breketeketa. Bring them out. No more delay. I prophesy speed. I bring you into a season by the Holy Ghost. Speed in ministry by the Holy Ghost. From the front to the back, I release that grace. As that anointing comes on you, every delay, I don't care how long it has been, I release you. Step into that grace. Abeokuta, I bring you the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Speed in your academics. Speed in ministry. Speed. As you are standing here, I speak to your family, using you as a point of contact. Receive speed. Receive speed. Elanta salabash kalabarato sadaparuta siata ebrato sekete barita kata. No delay. I bring it to an end. No delay. I bring it to a close. The Bible says he has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. How could you be the same? How could you go back the same? Now listen. I told you that when I was ministering initially, before I started teaching, I saw chains. And everywhere, listen to me. Listen to me. The Bible says, the messianic prophecy says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. It says, for he hath anointed me to preach glad tidings to the meek. It says, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, to open up prison doors. They are not parables. Now, I want to pray for you. Listen, I don't know how we are going to do it, but you have to be careful now, because once I begin to minister deliverance, as all these spirits begin to leave, sometimes the people can be wild, so you just help and manage them. Let me pray for you. Many of you may not know that there are demonical influences that are the back of the patterns of tragedy that befall people. Listen, it is not just because words are spoken that you are free. Every challenge is at the mercy of the grace that confronts it. I want to pray for you now, from the front to the back. Now, at the count of three, I want you to shout the name Jesus. Listen, as you shout that name, the rain as fire will come upon individuals. And hear me, except God is not God, if there is any altar, any yoke, any enchantment over any family, it comes to an end. Are you ready? At the count of three, I speak to every yoke, every spirit. The spirit of liberty is here. At the count of three, one, two, three, shout Jesus. I command powers, I command yokes, go now, go now, go now. I command principalities, release God's people, release their destinies. Please help them at the back. Help them at the back. Every power, every yoke, every enchantment that is not of the Christ, I release you from it now. Release their destinies. Release their families in the mighty name of Jesus. Hear me. You are still going to shout that name again. I'm seeing the hands of people. It's a symbol of your productivity. You walk, but nothing walks. You move, but nothing moves. Some of you should not be where you are now. But I want to speak over your life. Father, that everyone under the sound of my voice, as they shout that name, Jesus, the name exalted above every other name, if there be anything that withholds their destinies, Lord, let it give way right now. Some of you will feel physical fire upon your hands and feet. Are you ready now? At the count of three. One, two, three. Release them now. Chains, be broken.
Atmosphere.
with you one more revelation, and the Lord is going to be granting grace. There are several great men and women of God that God is going to be bringing here. But I pray as a token for your commitment tonight, I declare upon you, return with strange testimonies tomorrow. Believe it in the name of Jesus. Some of you tonight, as you return back home, the visions and the dreams that once used to come to you that now has disappeared, I prophesy a restoration of them. I open you up to the ministry of angels in a fresh dimension. In the name of Jesus, I pray for you. Some of you, what you are looking for, you will go and find it waiting for you at home. In the name of Jesus.